It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yeah. It's just me. Ali is away. It is just you and I hope you're good. How you doing? Okay. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm glad to hear that as well. I'm all right. Thanks for asking. I'm all right. You know, I just broke up out of a cold. I caught a cold on Friday. That cold was beating my ass a little bit. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm just turning the corner. I'm on my way back. You know what I mean? You know how it is when you're down and out, then you're coming up out of that cold and you could see the light at the end of the tunnel. Man, it was tough. I was coming down with a cold on Friday. Yeah, Friday afternoon, I started feeling bad, and I had a spot at like 12:30 that evening, so I just had to power through it. I did a whole bunch. This is the funny thing. This whole weekend, I was just medicating with damn near year-old expired cold medicine. So I was EDGE. I had to take it back to my college days. I was living on the edge. I consulted with my panel of doctors and asked them, can I take old cold medicine? You know, they were like, yeah, you know, how old is it? You know, this expired back in May of 2025, May or March, one of the M's, 2025, I mean, it was a while ago. So, but they were like, yeah, you know, I just needed one to get me through the show. They were like, get some new medicine the next day. But that cold was so crazy, I couldn't really make it out. So I had to just, you know, coast off of the expiration, you know, and shit, we here. I'm here. We made it. You know what I mean? We back. So, yeah, I'm back. I'm here. On the mic at the other side of the cold, had to pull out the humidifier, all of that. Had to really just rest, you know, sit my ass down and rest. Like that was it. I made some soup, made some decent soup, made a good soup that helped out. I warmed up some rum. You know, I got a wreck to do that. I did that. I don't know if it worked. Warmed some rum with some fresh lime juice. And took a shot of that. I don't know if it worked, but it definitely put me to sleep. So, I mean, it did what it needed to do, you know. And then I finally did a lot of binging the television. You know, I was watching a bunch of stuff. I'm up to date on Industry. Up to date on Landman. Just got done before I cracked the mic, just got done watching Marty Supreme. We'll talk about all of that. We'll get into all of that in a second. But, that was it. You know, what else is going on? I went to Friday, you know, as I was, you know, coming down with the cold, I went to the movies. I saw Black News, Terms and Conditions. That's the Khalil Joseph movie. That just came out. I mean, it came out at least a month ago. And I guess it's not a documentary. He says it straight up. It's not a documentary. I don't know what you would call it. If you're familiar with Khalil Joseph at all, you know, he did Lemonade. He did this one video for Flying Lotus like over 10 years ago called Until the Quiet Comes, I think. Go on YouTube. Like, It's worth checking out. It's worth checking out. His work is kind of like, feels like collage work. Like, he, you know, he's down with, like, Arthur Jaffa. You know what I'm saying? What's my man name? Branford Young? You know, those cats. Like, those like, visualists. You know, I think, honestly, I think the first person put me on to him was Young Muhammad. But it was good. It was as my man Will said, because this was kind of what had me reluctant to go check it out. He was like, it's dense. And I was like, damn, do I want to go see a dense-ass movie? You know? But, you know what I mean? Shout out to my man Vlad. We got up. We went to go check that shit out. And it was cool. It was a good movie. It was dense. But it was, I think it was well done. I don't really know exactly how to describe it. Like I said, it's like a collage. It's definitely about blackness. I don't want to say it's about black history. There is, but they take some creative license. There's a lot of found footage. It reminds me of, well, and I was watching it, it kind of reminds me of like what I got from it is like scrolling through Instagram. You know, like you just scroll through Instagram and whatever your algorithm serves up, you ingest it, I guess. Like you watch it and you don't know what's coming up. There's some continuity to it. The thrust of it obviously is black news, but it kind of spans all over the place. And then, like I said, like there's found footage, stuff that you may have seen on the internet or Instagram and things like that. And then there's like little manipulated footage. It's like nothing else. It's very unique. I will say that. It's very unique. It's playing at IFC. I believe it's still going on. I think it's worth checking out in the theater. But if you don't, you know, hopefully it comes to streaming. It's definitely worth a watch. I will say that. It's definitely worth a watch. I don't want to say edutainment, but it definitely has like academic bend to it, and then there's an entertainment bend to it as well. And like I said, it's not all, I don't think it's all like historical. Again, I think, you know, there's some liberties taken, and you know, so I enjoyed that. Did that, went and got something to eat, stopped through the Whitney. You know, they got their little free Fridays, because you know, again, like I had a 12:30 spot, so I was trying to kill time. Fell through the Whitney. And it was cool, you know, it was chill. But at that point, I feel a cold coming on. You know, I started to feel a little lethargic. It was cold outside, too. So then I went back uptown, got the whip, came back downtown, did the spot. Had a good set, not going to lie, in the midst, my little flu game. You know, everybody want to have a flu game. Everybody want to feel like they had a flu game. You feel good when you like, you know, you try to, you know, performing against the odds. You know what I'm saying? So there was that. And that was fun. And that was probably the last thing I did productivity-wise for the weekend. Like I said, I was down and out. It was over. It's at the crib. Fortunately, I had a couple things in the refrigerator to make it through, you know. But yeah, I feel like I'm shaking the cold off. I think I'll finally be good probably by the time this episode hits the public. You know what I mean? Or maybe in the middle of Wednesday, at the very least Thursday. I'm getting a haircut on Thursday either way. I think a haircut will help with the healing. So I heard the new T.I. record. I don't know if y'all heard the new T.I. record. What's the name of this new T.I. record? Let me look at it. Let Him Know. The new T.I. record, Let Him Know. He dropped it over the weekend. Him and Pharrell got back together. Sound good. It sound like vintage It sound like vintage T.I., vintage Pharrell. You know, like it was It was a vibe. It felt like T.I. back in that old T.I. pocket. It felt like, you know, what you remember. You know what I mean? It kind of made me, like, go down a whole, create a little quick T.I. playlist. I had to throw some of my favorite joints on there. And, you know, just get ready, I guess, for the return of T.I. What's he talking about? What's the new joint coming out with? Hold on. What's the name of this joint? Kill the King, coming soon. Now, from what I understand, this is supposed to be his last album, you know, so we'll see. I never believe cats when they say it's their last album. I really don't, especially if it's a good album. I everybody wants to go out on top, most people, but it takes a certain level of restraint. It takes a strong level of restraint to go out on top. You know what I mean? Because to some, to ideally, you would think, like, yo, went out on top, both arms raised, you know, winner. You know what I mean? Let me go out into the sunset. But then other times, you just feel like, am I leaving some money on the table? You know, we live in a capitalistic society, so it's like, hold on now. I don't know. Maybe I got another album in me, you know? Similarly, I seen J. Cole. He put out a joint, too. I forget the name of his record, but he put out, I guess, the first song and a half from The Fall Off, which is allegedly, you know, his last album he's been teasing for a few years. We'll see. I don't always believe all of that, but we'll see. J. Cole seems like maybe the type to actually maybe do it, maybe commit to it. Who knows? We'll see. But that was cool. Sound like, you know, it was cool. I'm not the biggest J. Cole fan, I'll be honest with you. I don't got nothing against it. I think he can rap. But I just don't like, his music don't really get me hype. Like, I'm like, oh, you know, like, it is what it is. It's cool. You know, I'm curious to hear what the album sounds like, especially for both of them. If this is your last album, I'm curious to hear what your statement is going to be. How you going to step out of here? How you going to walk off, you know? I guess we just had a 3-day weekend, huh? MLK weekend. Salute to Martin Luther King. You know. It's not much you could say about Martin Luther King that hasn't been said. He's the GOAT. And I don't even think, you know how people say the GOAT. I feel like the GOAT is so overused, but like Martin, and, you know, Martin Luther King. That's Martin Luther King. LeBron put out some sneakers, the latest LeBrons. I want to say they're the LeBron 23s in a colorway that's kind of like, I guess, not a teal, but like a Statue of Liberty green or whatever, but it's the same color of the sign of the Lorraine Hotel where Martin Luther King was assassinated, which I guess I understand the homage, but it feel like it's a little bit misguided. Damn near in poor taste. Like, I understand maybe you trying to amplify the memory and, you know, what Martin Luther King stood for, but it just feels a little too exploitative to sell sneakers based on the site of an assassination of the greatest civil rights leader of all time. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit is a little odd to me. And sadly, them sneakers are not even fire like that. Like, if you're gonna exploit the memory of Martin Luther King, put some heat out. You know what I mean? Put some heat out like that. That ain't it. I don't know. I guess I ain't heard Bernice talk about it. You know, that's his daughter. You know, she's pretty good at manning the legacy, you know. And I haven't seen anything where she said, yo, them shits is trash, but I would, but who knows? Hope, you know, I'm sure there's, and I'm not saying that there's a payoff or anything, but obviously there's some money going to the estate and all of that, and, you know, but it's not the look, to be totally honest with you. Also in sneaker news, Nike has come out with this whole sneakers app got him card. You know, like, let me find out what the name of the shit is exactly. it's been making like a become a bit of a story. Let me find this shit. Nike has created, blesses fans. Nike, I'm looking at Nice Kicks on Instagram. Nike blesses fans with sneakers golden ticket packages. So it's like a sneakers golden ticket gift package to random sneakerheads, random, quote unquote, random, right? And basically, it's a card that will allow them to automatically hit on any sneakers drop of their choice from January 19th to March 29th. So basically, you're gifted or blessed with the opportunity to spend money with Nike. And people are going crazy. People are so excited. I can't believe I didn't get it. I wish I got the opportunity. That's how distorted the sneaker game has gone. That, and I've been saying this for a long time, it's ridiculous that we've been trained on this. I opted out a while ago, but like the consumer has been trained to compete or hope and wish for the opportunity to give this sneaker company their money. You know what I'm saying? So much so now they're blessing you with the opportunity to pay them for their sneakers. It's wild to me how like just lopsided that transaction feels. It's kind of, that shit is crazy to me, to be totally honest with you. I'm like, wow. And the funny thing is, you get the card, but you still only get the card, first of all, for that limited time, for that little window between January 19th. So I guess it started already from January 19th to March 29th. But you only, now you got the card, but you only could purchase one pair of sneakers. So and I'll be honest with you, I don't think the releases are even that crazy. I will say Nike overall and Jordan last year 40, they are still some of the masters of the manipulated scarcity, you know, to get the people going and, you know, like to really feel like they know how to cultivate sneaker FOMO still. And I don't know, maybe I'm just older now or skeptical or cynical or whatever. Like, you know, I actually have stock in Nike. I started buying stock in Nike a few years back when, like, I think it might have come out of frustration, which was weird, too, because I'm still giving them money. But I started buying stock because sneakers, I couldn't buy them. So sometimes I say, you know what, let me take that money that I would have spent on sneakers and let me buy some stock. And I've traded and made some bread off of it, but I have been, you know, I follow the ticker. And Nike stock ain't doing what it should be doing. You know what I mean? For all this hype, it ain't really killing them out there. You know, it's going up a little bit this past 6 months with all of the, like, the 40th anniversary of Jordan. Like, they really went hard. They really, really, really went hard. And it went up for a minute, but now it's kind of like, I don't even know where we at right now. Let me see where Nike stock is at the moment. Because it's like, man, the way people are going crazy over this shit. Yeah, $63. It's down. Nike stock is down. You know, I think the high for the year is $94. So they, you know, shit, they're over $30 down. It's crazy. But, you know, they trying to do what they trying to do. And they, you know, it's just interesting. I guess, like, looking at it now, it just, I see it. I see the jig. I see what's going on. It is what it is. But, you know, hopefully somebody catches the little Willy Wonka card, you know, and goes and gets the, buy a pair of sneakers for retail, gets the opportunity to buy a pair of sneakers for retail. Anyway, so I saw, when should we start? Should we start with Marty Supreme? I guess we'll start with Marty Supreme. So I watched Marty Supreme, right? I just got done watching Marty Supreme. This is my first Timothy Chalamet movie. screeners are out, so I didn't have to go to the theater. So I got to watch it on streaming, and I think that was to my benefit. I'm gonna be honest with you. One, I'm fucking still halfway sick. But two, that movie a little too long. Like, it could have been. We could have cut. Like, it was at one point when I looked at the shit, it was still an hour to go, and I'm like, yo, what are we doing? It is the most, I don't even know if harrowing is the word, but it is the most, they try to make the stakes so high for this old ping pong ass movie. You know what I mean? Like table tennis, pardon. Let's be formal about it. Table tennis, you know, because that's the thrust of it all. Like Marty Mouser is like, you know, one of the best. He's the best table tennis player in the whole United States, and he's going overseas to defend his title and become the worldwide champ, and you know, nothing will get in his way. Like that's basically the film. The film is just like how intense and relentless and driven this man's desire to compete at the highest level and like bring a level of prestige to table tennis that has never been before, you know, and he's so singular about it. Like, nothing will get in his way. He will do whatever it takes to get what he needs to get done, you know. So that's basically what's going on. I was like, this is almost like the Revenant for tabletop tennis, you know. Remember when, and the only reason I say Revenant is because did Leo win an Oscar for that? But I don't know, I'm not sure. But I know that was like the one where it was all day for the bear, he's in the wilderness, all of this other shit. Like, it's just all of this adversity to you know, to win the Oscar. And there's been so much talk about Timothy getting the Oscar. And again, like I said, up until just today, I'd never seen any of his work. I will say the kid can act. He's a good actor. He brings that intensity that I've been talking about, that I see him take to the podium. He brings it to this role. You know, this is like if Kobe played ping pong, you know. So it's got a lot of intensity, and I keep saying that, but it's got a lot of that. And then it's got the, you know, that frenetic, I don't even want to say frenetic, but it's just got that heightened stakes that the Safdie movies have. You know, I know it's not the brothers. I think this was just Josh. I'm not sure if it's, you know, but it's that, and, you know, so I don't want to do too much spoiling, but the gist is, you know, he trying to become the best tabletop tennis player ever in history, basically. Basically, that's the full on, I'll say the log. That's the premise of the whole shit. The cast is pretty cool. The cast is actually pretty cool. You know, it's a Safdie movie, so then they got people that you probably haven't seen in a while in the thing. Like, they got Fran Drescher, and you know, it's good to see her. They got my man from, not my man, but homie from Shark Tank, Mr. Wonderful. They got Odessa Azion, who was just on I Love LA, who I like. I think she's dope. You know what I mean? I ain't realize that's Pamela Adlon's daughter. You know, Pamela who played Louis C.K.'s wife in Louie, you know, and then she also was on Better Things and directed Babes or whatever. But it's crazy, like, that's a, you know. But anyway, and then, you know, Tyler, the Creator. I forget Tyler's last name. It's like Oko something, you know what I mean? But yeah, Tyler, the Creator, in his first theatrical appearance. And he did his thing. My man, I think that, I'm pretty sure it was the cat. Remember the dude from Cleveland, the Golden Voice? I think that was him in the movie. You know, they do that type of weird stunt cast. They pull people like out of the, I don't say obscurity, but you know, it's just like, oh shit, like real particular or peculiar people, and they put them in there. And it was, you know, takes place in the 50s, you know. Gwyneth Paltrow, I'm bugging. Gwyneth Paltrow was in the movie. That kind of felt like, to use wrestling terms, it felt like Gwyneth Paltrow was putting Timothy Chalamet over. And putting somebody over in wrestling is basically like if you're a champ or you're like a star and, you know, you have a certain level of prestige and there's a up-and-coming wrestler, you know, typically it's in a match and you lose to that person, that kind of puts them over. I believe that's the correct way of using the term. I'm not like a super wrestling head anymore, but that, you know. So basically what I'm saying is like, you know, like Gwyneth Paltrow is not the old guard, but she's a legacy A-list actress, actor, you know. From she's been an A, I mean, outside of, you know, pivoting to the wellness, I don't want to say grift, but to the wellness hook, you know, doing the Goop. But she was Gwyneth Paltrow. She had a name in the game, you know what I mean? And, like, it still has some cachet to it. So for her to be in there, you know, like, giving him that look, it was just like, okay, all right. Motherfuckers is really... They are putting a house on this cat, Timothy Chalamet. So it's interesting because I'm watching it more so like I'm looking at it less as a movie, but more as a vehicle to like put this cat on top of the heap. You know what I mean? He just won the Golden Globe and all of this other shit. You know, and I maybe that's cynical or whatever. You know, but the performance was solid. He's probably going to win. I don't think I'd watch it again, to be totally honest with you. It's too long. The movie is way too long to be a fucking ping pong movie. Because that's the funny thing is it's like everything off screen, like all of the hoops and, you know, hurdles and everything in his way trying to get to these ping pong matches or, pardon me, these tabletop tennis, you know, matches or whatever. It's like when they finally start playing the tabletop tennis or table tennis, it's very hard to make table tennis that exciting. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's fine. It looks choreographed. Like, they look like they going for it. But again, it's not to diminish table tennis. I don't want no table tennis people, you know what I mean, raising their paddles in ire. But it's, come on. You know what I mean? Like, so it is what it is. It is what it is. I'll say that. It is what it is. It was a cool watch. I'm happy I seen it. Now I could kind of, you know, I'm trying to watch through the landscape of this award season. I got to watch Hamnet. Because I see they've been busting ass out here. I'm trying to see what the hype is about that. I still feel like One Battle After Another is my favorite movie so far. I think Sinners was my favorite movie event. I think One Battle After Another was still my favorite movie. But, so Marty Supreme, it's cool. It's cool. You know, it's cool. If you ask me, I don't think you need to run to the theater to go see it. I'm going to be honest with you. Y'all can tell me in the comments if you disagree, but I don't feel like it's something that you got to go rush out to go check out. To be totally honest with you, I'd wait till it hits streaming. But that's me. I just, you know. Oh, I also saw The Rip. I saw The Rip. That's the new Ben Affleck, Matt Damon movie that just came out on Netflix. And, you know, like a, I don't want to say a heist movie. Tiana Taylor's in it. Who else? Steven Yeun. Kyle Chandler. It's a good cast. Cop movie, you know, solid movie. It's a good movie. Nice, fun watch. Y'all should check it out. It's on Netflix. So if you got Netflix, go peep it. It's worth checking out. I'm trying not to spoil shit right now as far as the movies go, as far as these newer movies. I also saw His and Hers. Yeah, man, it was all right. The twist, I kind of saw the twist. I kind of had an idea that could be a potential twist. I didn't put no money on it. I wasn't like, this is what's going to be. But when it turned to become the twist that it was, I wasn't that caught off guard. But then when they kind of fleshed out, you know, like they illustrated the, you know, the whole, the playing out of the plot twist, it that kind of undermined a lot of the movie. I was like, oh, that was, I mean, not the movie, but the series. I was like, oh, that's a little cheesy. We're random. LeBron is, this is his first year, I guess, in 21 years where he has not been voted as a starter to the All-Star game. End of an era. Damn. That's what you get, them whack-ass sneakers. You know what I mean? God don't like ugly. What else? Okay, let's talk about industry. I seen Landman. I don't know if y'all follow Landman. I ain't talk about Landman too much. I've been telling y'all I fuck with Landman. Landman is good. They did the finale. You know, Landman is very cut and dry. All's well, it ends well. You know what I'm saying? It's like a soap. Let's get to industry. So industry came back last week. I missed it last week because I forgot. I think I was caught up watching something else. I forget what the reason was. Anyway, long story short, I had to catch up on industry because this is my shit. I'm not sure if it was because I was starting to feel a little better, compounded with the fact that I'm a fan of industry, but it's something like when one of your shows come back, it's like a high. Like when you start watching one of your shows and it, the tone of the show and the writing and everything just hits. It's like when you roll a, you know what I mean? When you roll some fire and you take that pull, I ain't smoked in a minute. But when you like, ooh, this is that shit. This pack here, this ain't mid. This is not a mid pack. So it was good to see. It was good for industry to be back. Opens up. It looks like, you know, there's some new players. Season 4, episode 1 is called PayPal Bukkake. We open up. We see my homegirl, Sally Draper, is now part of the cast. Kiernan Shipka. You know, I know a Sally Draper from Mad Men. You know what I mean? When she was just a kid. You know, now she didn't, you know, damn. Motherfuckers is they growing up right in front of your eyes. That's what happens when you old. Anyway, so we see Sally Draper. She's in there, they in the club, you know what I mean? She's, you know, just living life. You know, that's the thing about industry. Industry is definitely, you know, hedonistic. It's profane and it's profitable. Like it's capitalism and then there's just hedonism. Like that's the yin and yang of it all, you know, and just ruthlessness, people going for it by any means. And that's, they trying to, it, listen, it is grimy and I love it. I love it. Cause these characters are really, they lock in, you know, and it's hard to really, you could judge these characters, but I don't think there's any character in here that's like truly a good person. You know, there's no redeemable value in any of these characters, but they're well acted. They're well acted. So we see Kiernan Shipka, her character, Haley. We see Haley in the club. She in the club. Hanging out, chilling, and we see this one dude kind of like peeping her from afar. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to go through the whole shit. Seeing her peeping her from afar, you know, he's basically plotting on her. He meet her at the bar a little bit. One thing leads to another. They start, you know, they start to dance. She hit him with some type of pill. He fake takes the pill. Looked like she saw that he fake took the pill. Throws it in his back pocket. They go back to the crib and they get it cracking, you know, because it's going to be some fucking in industry. So they get it cracking next day because it was just one of those nights, it felt like, right? So the next day she wake up, she don't even realize She slept with homie. She see him in the kitchen. He done made coffee. She's like, yo, if you told me your name, I totally forgot it. Blah, blah, blah. He says, hey, you know, my name is actually Jim Diker. You know, I was trying to get in touch with your boss. She snaps. She spazzes. She realizes this was all a long con. You know, basically, he went through her or went in her to get to the boss. And she's sick about it. She's like, grabs a knife, get the fuck out of here. Just that, you know, that whole thing. So we know, obviously, as she said, and she had spoken the night before, like her boss be flying to Africa every couple days. And you know what I mean? Like, we know her boss has some type of status or means or whatever. So that's how we're introduced to these two new characters, you know, Jimmy and Haley. Then after that, enter Harper. You know, now if you've been watching industry, you know Harper is the Dundada. You know what I mean? That's my favorite character. Harper, I feel like Harper is the lead of the show. You know what I mean? I don't think that's even I don't even think that's up for debate. So, and what I've noticed is over the last four seasons, definitely over the last three, the Harper entrance kind of sets the tone for where she gonna be that season. You know what I mean? I can't even remember all of them. I remember one, I think she came in. I don't know if she came in with the do-rag on. I remember one, she's going swimming in the pool. Either way, she hopping out the range with the long trench on, you know, kind of like bossed up. You know, she just, in the last season, she partnered with the dude, Otto, after kind of, you know, doing some shady shit, which is always what goes on. They all kind of doing shady shit, but now she's kind of partnered with my man. What's my man's name? Otto Moisten or whatever. So, like, she's running a fund for him. So you see her pull up into the office. And Sweet Pea, who we remember from last season, she's working with Harper. Harper, you know, Harper actually, the actress Mahila, I think that's how you pronounce her name. First of all, now she only go by Mahila. That's gangster. She only go by one name now, just Mahila now. So you know, this is what I wanted to say. Mahila and Marissa Abella, who plays Yasmin on the show, they so good on this show that I was watching Marissa in the second episode. The way that she, like, you know, they do their thing as these characters so much. So, like, it made me say, yo, I got to watch this little Amy Winehouse movie that she was in where she plays Amy Winehouse. You know what I mean? And I really didn't want to, because it don't feel like it's going to be good. You know, I don't even know if I heard it was good or bad, but it's just something feels like, a little too soon, whatever, whatever. But like, okay, let's see. But what I was going to say about Mahila, I seen her in a couple movies, and I've been wanting to say, and these are, and I guess it's all HBO, but I got a take. And the only part about this take that's going to make it hot is the third name that I'm going to say. But I feel like Mahila, I got to watch more Marissa, but I'm just putting her into the take. And Zendaya, their best work is on HBO. Comment below if you disagree. I think Zendaya is a beast. I think Zendaya is a great actress. I think she's the best out of the three. You know, she's the future in acting. I haven't seen everything Zendaya's been in, but everything that I have seen her in, I don't think nothing's fucking with what she does with Rue on Euphoria. And Euphoria's on its way back. We'll see how that goes. But I think it just gives her enough opportunity to kind of stretch. Let me know. I've watched quite a few of Zendaya's movies, and I don't think anything kind of matches what she does on Euphoria. That's the take for right there. But anyway, Harper's back. There's a new cat. What's my man's name? Corbina, played by Toheeb Jimo. He's a new character. Harper's assistant. You know what I mean? Seems as though Harper's assistant. And then we find out a little later there's a little bit more to that. But, you know, I'm not going to go beat by beat by beat. Cal Penn is on the show. He's playing a CEO of a company called Tender, which is weird. It's like a, I guess kind of like a PayPal. I mean, basically the pilot is called, or not the pilot, but the first episode is called PayPal for Bukkake, or Bukkake PayPal. It's one of these portals where you can pay for sites like OnlyFans, and they created, I don't know if it's real or not, but they created this site called Siren. But it's like, you know, these, whatever you want to call them, curated, I don't know what you call them, sites. Online strip club. I don't even want to call it an online strip club, but you know, where you can get, you can show anything from toes to titties. You know what I'm saying? And people pay, and, you know, OnlyFans, you know what the vibe is. So I guess in this universe, you can't really pay for those sites. And maybe this is a Britain thing, but you can't pay for those sites through Venmo or PayPal. So Tender, which is very close to Tinder, Tender is like the portal to pay for it, right? Jay and Whitney, they run Tender together. But you could kind of see off rip that it's starting to tear at the seams, the two of them. You know, Whitney is kind of looking at Jay like he's bugging out. And they both are a bit erratic. But it seems like they have two different agendas for the company. Like, Whitney wants Tender to become a bank. Whereas Jay is like, we don't need to do that. We already making a whole lot of money doing what we do. You know, I think you're trying to kind of, you want to whitewash it or whatever. You're trying to get away from the stigma of the partners that we deal with, you know, and Whitney is definitely trying to do that. Now, at the same time, they both making money or whatever. And it's kind of alluded to, you see a little bit of it. It's kind of alluded to that, you know, Cal Penn's character, Jay, is just, he's just like, I don't say he's degenerate, but his whole shit is just pure hedonism, I guess. Or at least that's what they're trying to say. My man Jay is like, yo, use the candle I got you, because it's like a weird odor in here, basically. You funky. You stay getting drunk. You don't have anybody at the house. You're not going home nowhere. So you like, your whole aura is just real, you know, dirty, rotten scoundrel. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the vibe with him. You know, I don't really get it. He's out there. He's spending money. You know, he's dealing with like OnlyFans models, women off of TikTok. Like, he just like, and he's like in his late 30s or whatever. This season looks like it's going to be dealing with a lot of, you know, maturity, right? You know, as hedonistic as industry has been, it seems like now the characters are starting to get a little older, and there needs to be a little bit more at stake than just whatever we're going to do after work. Like, are we building lives together? Are we building a legacy? Are we like, let's mature a little bit. You know, you're seeing that with the Jay and Whitney dynamic. You're seeing that with Yasmin and Henry in the second episode. You know, Henry is still very overly dramatic. A rich kid who's, I don't say infantilized, but you know, like, as he said, his legacy is ironclad. He really can't lose much. He's good. He's so wealthy, like, his parish is ridiculous. Like, he'll be fine no matter what, no matter how hard he tries to destroy himself. And then what we realize, or what we're reminded of, is like, similar to Yasmin, both of their fathers have very tragic endings, you know? And in the second episode, we started to see how that is unfolding and affecting their dynamic and how it's hitting Henry. Like, it's a wild, it's some wild episodes. It's some wild shit that's going on. You get to see Harper and Eric back in the first episode. You know, that's always been a bit of a love story between the two of them. There's, I guess, a Trump cameo. They call him 47. They on the golf course. And, you know, they like 47 don't never let nobody play through. And he's taking forever to golf. And there's one line, because, you know, industry's always good with some slick lines. There's one line says, "I heard he loves playing with Tiger Woods. Makes him feel like a civil rights hero." Talk about Trump. Yeah, so episode one, I don't want to totally spoil a whole lot of stuff, but episode one ends in some betrayal. You know, and that's always par for the course when we're dealing with industry. I'm not going to let on to who betrayed who, but episode one, it ends in some betrayal, and you like, oh, shit, here we go. You know, locked in. Episode two, like I said, Henry, Yasmin is kind of, that's the focus of that. And you seeing Henry is rich and depressed. You know, when you're rich and depressed, I mean, he's still depressed, but it just looks a little bit more luxurious. You know what I'm saying? You got more amenities, you know, like you're just sitting, you just laid up in a nice tub, but you're still laid up in the tub, not doing shit, but you know, it's just very indulgent, real self-indulgent. And Yasmin is trying to, you know, she holding him down. She trying to be the good wife and hold him down and cheer him up or whatever. And it is wearing on her for sure, you know. And then it's his 40th birthday, and everybody's coming into town. He's been using drugs, like he's shooting up. So like, he's a mess. He's a mess so much that Yasmin is lying about where he is and trying to cover up for him. But like, all these people are coming for this big 40th birthday shindig, and she's just hoping that he'll pull himself together. Cause right now he's on some wealthy junkie shit. And, you know, her aunt pulls up. She RSVPs last minute. She pulls up, her father's sister. She pulls up. And she pulls Yasmin to the side and hits her with some cold game. Henry shows up to the 40th dinner on acid, tripping, bugging out. The woman that beat him for public office is at the dinner. He get in her face. He do something wild with her. And then all of a sudden, this dude comes out of nowhere and look like it's like one of his homies, one of his Ace Boone Coons. I don't know if white folks can have Ace Boone Coons. You know what I mean? But anyway, one of his good friends, his homie, his partner, we think is his partner in crime. They go back and they go on to town. They leave the spot, go out, slum it a little bit. They at the bar, they with the commoners for some excitement or whatever. One thing leads to another. That's the thing about when you're wealthy. You could beat a commoner to death damn near, and they'll sweep that shit under the rug. You know what I mean? Because they just, the hierarchy of it all. You know, the caste system, I guess, of wealth, you know, will allow you to pummel a motherfucker just, not just because, but, you know, it's always justified. It's always the poor person's fault. You know what I mean? So anyway, then some shit happens, and we later realize that this person who we think is Henry's, you know, partner in crime is actually, nah, I'm not going to do that. I've said enough. So that's it. That's it for this week. I will say this. Ann Arbor, Michigan, February 26th through the 28th. Tickets are on sale now. Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. Tickets are on sale now. Go ahead and cop them if you live in that cold-ass environment. Please come out. We're going to have some laughs that's going to fucking warm your body. So please get some tickets. I'll have some more dates coming up soon. DamianLemon.com. But at this point, that's it for right now. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend, and even an enemy, to get in the conversation.
Conversation.